Yeah, he'd be in like a DJ battle with Barabbas, DJ Barabbas. That's just such a good name for a DJ, too.
DJ Barabbas?
That's right. And yeah.
Every time you make biblical references, you lose me.
I don't know. I apologize.
It's okay. But it's over the years of knowing you, it's happened a lot.
Yeah?
It's my fault because I don't study the Bible anymore.
Well, that's because...
You need to take some Bible study.
Yeah.
I have been trying to convert you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby, across from David.
And joining us today is improviser. Well, I wrote this so messily, I can't read it now. Improviser, sketch performer, magician, drummer, and hip-hop DJ, Toby Berner.
Welcome, Toby.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So wait a second. You're making both that magician and drummer money? Sweet.
That's, I know,
sweet.
Yeah.
That Although, the way I wrote it, looks like you're a skate performer and a dreamer.
I like that better.
Yeah.
Skate performer and dreamer. Nice. Full you time. Are a skateboarder.
I used to skateboard.
Oh, when did you hang up the boards?
Well, I guess probably 35, when I was 35, and it was like my friends with jobs were driving by me and honking, going, dude, hang it up. What are you doing?
I seem to remember seeing you skateboarding, probably. So it can't have been that long ago.
No, it wasn't that long. My knees started to hurt, too.
Yeah, you know who else runs into that is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because they're all in their 30s as well now and all still skateboarding, and it's a little sad.
Yeah.
You see them with their full ninja. A lot of them, you know, just like they just can't do it anymore, you know? And they're going like, I live to be 120. And it's like, that's fair. That's a fair point. But still, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
They're still skateboarding?
Yeah, yelling cowabunga.
Really? They still say cowabunga?
Of course they do. What else would they say?
Wasn't that Bart Simpson's catchphrase?
It was both about the same time.
Okay.
It was a cowabunga era.
It was the era cowabunga.
Maybe Bart was using it as like a pop culture reference at the time. Like he was like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are hot, so I'm going to get on this train and start like saying cowabunga everywhere I go.
He was already making this saying retro before over.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Why do they keep coming back, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? What's the appeal?
Are they back? Is there like a movie coming out?
Yeah, there's always a movie coming out. And we had a friend who was a puppeteer of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Christine Lippa.
I remember when the auditions were going around and they were looking for...
This is for the TV series, not the many movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they were looking for real... Like, they were really looking for actors in Vancouver to play one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
They were looking for real turtles.
They're looking for real turtle actors.
And then they went down a notch and went turtle-ish actors.
Turtle-ish.
Right, well, they always had to be... like a high level brown or black belt kung fu artist.
Of course.
And
the turtle did,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing in the audition, in the breakdown that went out.
Yeah.
You know? It's like must be a turtle and be awesome.
And then on the day of the audition, they were all sitting expectantly behind the table and they opened the doors to just an empty hallway. No one was sitting. There's no turtles were available.
That's right.
Because they all really only had the green belt.
Mm-hmm.
That's as high as they can go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, they had one in there, but they left the lights on too hot and he just dehydrated as turtles do.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
He came in his own terrarium.
I don't think turtles could eat pizza either. I don't think turtles can digest milk.
They can eat pizza.
Mm.
Explain.
Well, they could on the show.
Explain.
When have you fed a
they
turtle
have a
pizza?
Mouth.
Yeah.
Pizza goes in.
Right.
Is digested.
Right.
And comes out as turtle pizza.
I disagree that I don't think turtles can eat milk, so they would not be able to eat the cheese on
how
a
can
pizza.
They, how come they can't
what
eat
What do you mean
milk?
Turtles can't? Is it like a dog thing? Like dogs eat chocolate and they die? And
I assume so, because where would a turtle... So you're a turtle.
Yeah.
How often would you find a cow and like hang on to its teat and drink some milk in nature? That would not happen.
Where they live, there are coconuts, so they can have coconut milk.
Okay, but you don't
I
have...
think I've won this argument. There's no point going on.
Also, I'm just going to point out that I would never think to eat, like, say... crab, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but doesn't mean you can't eat it.
Well, why? Okay, but no, theoretically, as a human,
we could probably digest slugs.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, but we don't go around eating slugs.
I don't think about it.
As a human, you came from the sea. So at one point, you came out of the sea.
That is a theory.
All right, fair enough.
As a theory.
That is a controversial, sorry, that's right. It's not proven. True, not proven.
Did also come from God. So.
That's right. I consider myself a volcano person. We came out of a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think we were evolved from bird.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and I think it's turtles all the way down. So there we are.
With their brown belts.
Oh, are they only brown belts?
Oh, sorry. I was just playing off the... I know, only green belts is the thing. That's as high as they can go, which are below brown belts. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
This all spawned from just finding out who I was.
It is true. So we've discovered that you are a hip-hop DJ, a turtle, and...
A state performer.
Now, wait a second.
And a dreamer.
Now, I know everything about... I know I've seen you do magic. I've done. Right. I've seen you do magic in London, England. We've traveled. We've done that.
You were part of that show.
We've done sketch together. I've seen you improvise.
We won the best sketch troupe in Canada together.
That's right. And after that, the money just poured in.
Is that right?
The money truck backed up to our... Okay.
That explains, apartments. A, the Rolls Royce, B, the fact that you light all your big fat cigars with $100 bills.
True. It is the Canadian Rolls Royce, which is a Honda.
It's a Honda
Civic.
And by $100 bills, I mean...
Loonies. You have to heat a loonie so hot, and you've got to keep it in your hand at the same time.
Really?
Incredibly painful to do.
Well, lucky for you, you're a green belt, and part of that training is resisting pain.
That's right, like in Kung Fu. That's right. I can grab the hot pot and go, but you are now a hip-hop DJ. Explain what? Explain yourself.
Well, I'm a hip hop DJ because in a show that I just did in Calgary, a play called Ash Risen, it was a musical, a hip hop musical, and they hired me to be the DJ in the show. So I was like scratching. I was like wicka wicka wicka, like scratching.
Oh wow!
So you were a DJ in a play.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was in the play Oliver. I am also a Victorian era orphan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because everything we were in plays is what we really are then. Is this what you're saying?
No,
I am also a tailor that's being kicked out by the Tsar. And I'm marrying into Tevye's family. So that is also me.
So you were in Fiddler on the Roof.
I was in Fiddler on the Roof. Played Model Camsoil. That's correct.
Oh, nice. No, I guess what I what do I mean?
I mean, Red Robinson. Because I played him in a play. A terrible, terrible play.
I mean, in this particular play, I wasn't acting. Like, I wasn't, like, playing a character of a DJ.
So they went, kick it, Toby.
Yeah.
Called you Toby?
No, I had a DJ name.
Okay, which was?
It was DJ Slippers. Because, I was...
Because you're clumsy.
No, I thought it was because it was a Cinderella story.
Nice. Oh, nice. I was, it was actually just because I wore slippers in rehearsal. But,
okay.
it was Calgary, and the streets were kind of muddy and snowy, and they're like, please bring some extra shoes to rehearsal, and I was traveling. And
luckily, you didn't wear your pajamas, too, because then you would have been DJ PJs, which would have just been
DJ
really...
PJs is fantastic.
Is it really? Not a bad name. That's not a
No,
bad
that
name.
Isn't a bad name. I would like to see DJ PJs and DJ slippers. With DJ Warm Milk, they just do lullabies. They just do hip hop lullabies.
It'd be the quietest show ever.
Yeah, just
you're right.
Oh, that'd be great if you were
could
a real.
Just be a constant tone too, just like.
Yeah, imagine if you were so rich in your child's nursery that you had a full time DJ to do lullabies that would just like scratch out some lullabies for your baby.
Okay, go to sleep, sweetie. Wicka wicka. Just like all of a sudden.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty
There's
good.
A human beatbox in the room with us.
I know. Sorry, it's my hip hop roots coming out. You can see. When you grow up in Carisdale in Vancouver, you are surrounded by hip hop.
Oh yeah,
all the time.
That is the ghetto. Just so people who don't live in Vancouver know, Carisdale is basically the ghetto of Vancouver.
Well, yeah.
Well known.
It was back then.
Oh yeah, it was totally
early 80s.
Yeah.
Just chocolate stores, banks, old people.
Carisdale Arena.
The Carisdale Arena.
In fact, your first album, Chocolate Stores, Banks, and Old People, it's just out now on iTunes as well. So
I
you want to check that
great
out.
Three shows at the Carisdale Arena, though.
Okay, what was the third
Michael
best
Jackson?
Show?
Did you see Michael Jackson?
Work your way up to the best one.
Okay,
third best.
I'll just go. The first one I saw, Motorhead.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Grade 10, 1982.
Good age to see Motorhead.
And I saw The Clash.
Really?
Grade 12.
Carisdale Arena. Wow.
Yeah. And The Jam played there. Saw The Jam.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was kind of the go-to place. They were too big for the Commodore.
Yeah.
Too small for Pacific Coliseum.
Right.
So Carousel Arena was kind
of the place. Yeah, it's about 5,000 or 2,500 maybe.
It's a pretty, it's sizable.
Yeah.
But the only problem with the Motorhead show was just as the tour started, the guitarist quit. Fast Eddie Clark quit the band.
Oh, really?
So he was filled in by Phil, Robbins. He's the guy who played in Thin Lizzy. He played guitar in Thin Lizzy. Was one of the, Brian Robertson. It wasn't as good though. Like it didn't,
yeah.
You know, weren't seeing the band.
No,
totally. You're seeing
a bit of a ripoff.
That's what I said. Rip off. Then Lemmy hit me with his mic. And that was,
really?
No.
That would be a good story, though.
It would be a good story. No, yeah. I watched it quietly.
Whenever we do our Titmouse shows, it's a sketch group I'm in with Toby, and Toby's not in it. Someone is usually yelling, rip off, and it's usually Dave.
That's right,
in the front row. Rip off! This is like the Carisdale Arena all over again.
What is this, Motorhead?
We did have a funny show, though, now that I'm here in town for a little while. We had a funny show.
We did do a show that was funny.
It was a really good show.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
You played Hawkman, which is probably my favorite character I've seen you play recently.
That was good.
I sold it with my voice.
Yeah, let me do a little James Lipton here. Toby, could I speak to Hawkman for a moment?
You just have to say, all you have to do is just ask me, who are you?
What's okay, your name? I'll be playing Superman, yeah. Okay, and yeah. I'm going to ask okay. Toby, who's okay. playing
I'm
Hawkman,
gonna, I'm just going to back off the mic a little bit. I'm okay. just going to back off the mic.
Okay, here we go. So, who are you?
I'm Hawkman!
There you go. That's Hawkman.
That was nice. That was really good.
Yeah, yeah, I think he was laying an egg at that point.
I wonder what that's going to sound like on radio. On the podcast.
I think someone's going to make that their ringtone.
Yeah.
Why not? That'd be great if Hawkman's power was to lay eggs full of, like gadgets like Batman has with his belt, and he just throws like a gas egg or just throws a grappling egg or a net egg. But every time he's got to just like really squeeze it out of his...
Right before the fight, everything's exploding. He's like, just give me a second, guys.
Oh, I should have some coffee.
Let me crap out an egg here.
And then it could be what it's like. Who knows what kind of what's in that egg? You know, like you have to.
Oh, like he doesn't know what he's throwing.
How could he know?
I think that.
How could he know?
I think just you saying that has completely like said that what Ian said. Wouldn't it be cool? No, it wouldn't be cool.
Okay. It's one of those things that's like almost anything nerdy. It's like what's cool and the opposite of cool at the same time. That. Yeah. I think like they've never been able to really make Hawkman work as a character. I think that's the angle. That voice and crapping out eggs.
Yeah.
We'll find a place for that.
There was a Hawk woman, too, wasn't there?
There was.
Justice League?
Okay, well, yes. Toby.
And there was a whole Hawk family? Was there a whole, like...
You are treading on Ian's area of expertise here. So.
Yeah. I know. Sometimes this does happen.
Sit back.
Sit right back and I'll tell the tale of Hawkman and his crew. Okay.
Like, I don't want to know too much about Hawkman.
Yeah.
I don't want to get,
I'm
like...
I'm just going to... I'll finish it within 20 seconds, okay?
Although this is a character that I'm playing, so it means a lot to me to hear this backstory.
You'd like to research a character before you play. Yeah, like. Yeah. Before you auditioned for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you lived in a sewer for a month and ate nothing but sewer pizza.
He lived with talked to rats.
He talked to rats.
Tried to learn their martial arts skill, which was all basically get rabies and bite someone.
That's true. I'm a bit of a method actor when I'm preparing.
That's right. Okay.
Wow. See, I was mixed up. I thought it was get babies and fight someone. So I was totally.
And that's why you're a father of two.
That's right. Yeah.
He's itching for a fight.
Still to this day.
All right, here's my daughters are born. Who wants to fight now? Well, we don't want to fight you. You're a dad. Come on.
Put him up.
Okay, Hawkman, when he started off,
yeah.
It was Hawkman. He was and he had Hawk Girl was his partner. Later on, it was Hawkman, and they made it Hawk Woman because it was the 60s, and you want to be that. That's generally it. There's been a Golden Age Hawkman, a Silver Age Hawkman, but you don't want to hear that nonsense. Hawkman, both are correct.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, on the Justice League cartoon, it was Hawk Woman, who dated Green Lantern, who was John Stewart.
Okay.
But not the Daily Show's
not
John
Stewart. Not the John Stewart.
No, okay. John Stewart, J-O-H-N Stewart. Right. That's right.
Totally he different. Was a John Stewart.
That's right.
Totally different.
And and then she betrayed the Justice League.
By
being a betrayer. Basically, the whole idea in the Justice League cartoon.
That's what it takes.
Was she like siphoning?
Yeah, yeah she just
money?
Like, she would steal money from Batman every so often. He'd leave his wallet out. She'd just rack up some charges.
Okay, everybody, put your $10 in the donation tin.
That's you know, right.
And she'd just walk away with it.
And then the real drag was, Batman would try and follow up on this. Who did this? It was someone bird related, and he blamed Robin.
Oh boy,
he just was so mad at Robin.
Terrible.
Awkward. And it's like, there's two bird people ripping me off. Turned out it was Hawk Woman. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But no, on the cartoon, she was a spy for the planet
she was from. Can I guess?
Yes.
She reported them for unpaid parking fines.
Well, they live in space, so there's no parking in space.
How do you know?
Yeah,
have you been to space?
Yeah.
I think I won that argument.
Dave, we're all in space. Earth is in space. You're not apart from it. You're a part of it, brother. There's no up. There's no down.
Whatever. Go on.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. She was a spy from Thangar and was here to check us out and was going to go, okay, the going's good. Come on in, Thangar, invade. And that was going to be it. But then she, was nice near the end and decided, I'm not going to do that.
She repented.
Yeah, Hawkman actually was a big villain in that. So there you go.
I don't believe that for a second.
Hawkman?
It's on Wikipedia.
There's not a mean, tiny little breakable bird bone in Hawkman's body. I don't believe that. Like, bird bones are small, right?
Yeah.
For a superhero.
And they're hollow.
They're small. Hollow, like, he's got to be pretty fragile.
Yeah.
He's Hawkman.
He's just this delicate guy.
You know?
Leave me alone.
Oh, I'm molting my feathers. It's like, he's got a lot of problems.
I love this version of Hawkman right now. He's just been fantastic. Yeah, there was a comic once, like a collection called Bizarro Comics, that had a Hawkman story. Was helping a bird find its egg. And that was just one of the most adorable things. Was just, "Help me, Hawkman," said the bird, because he could talk to birds. And then he was like, "My hero." And it was one of the sweetest Hawkman stories ever. I was like, make Hawkman this guy.
Can he talk to birds? Or is it just for that story?
No, he cannot talk to birds.
Just in that story, he could.
That's kind of a ripoff, hey? Like, Aquaman can talk to fish, but Hawkman can't talk to birds?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Exactly. He should be able to.
But he's not Airman.
That's true.
Though if you did talk to birds.
Skyman,
Birdman. All birds are saying, like, when you hear the birds singing, all birds are basically saying is, stay away or fuck me. Those are the two things that birds are saying. I'd like you to have sex with me, or stay the hell away from me. And those are the only two things that birds say.
Unless they're DJ birds, and they're going like...
Don't push me, because I'm edge of the branch. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Old school. That's
old school. That's the only thing I know when it comes to hip-hop bird talk.
Yeah.
DJ Hollow Bones.
By the way, I'm still considering a DJ Slippers and DJ PJs show while I'm here in town. I'm going to see if I can set that up somewhere.
I think, once again, DJ Warm Milk also would be a good one to just have come in just at the last second.
Maybe it's the band, the backup band. Like, it's DJ Slippers.
DJ PJs
featuring warm milk.
Right? Yeah, just warm milk. Yeah, I like that. That's good.
I think you throw a bunch of blankets and pillows down. Everyone would just a nice relaxing.
Even just the name Warm Milk. That would be an awesome name for a band.
Mm-hmm. Warm Milk?
Yes. Warm Milk.
Oh, but then you get some...
Don't steal that. Whoever's out there listening to this, don't steal that. That's my new band.
Circle C.
Right, but then there's going to be like a lot of lactose intolerance in the hip hop community, and they're going to get some fights going on. Right. Bloating.
To me, it sounds more like kind of like one of the sort of hipster bands or whatever you'd hear on the peak. You know,
I agree. I agree.
How do hipsters and hip hoppers get along? Is there any problems with them? With the
you know what, in Calgary, they were almost the same thing.
That makes sense.
Like the hipsters and hip hoppers were kind of like one and the same
because
there's just so few people there.
Yeah.
So they kind of just blend into one.
Now, am I wrong, or wouldn't something called hipster hop be a good idea?
No.
I don't know about that because...
You know, a lot of like ironic glasses and like just, you know, and then get into it.
Here's the thing. I think any hipster who dresses up like a hip hop person, that's just irony. Like as soon as they turn the baseball cap sideways with their beard.
Right.
This irony.
Now, if someone could wear their beard sideways, that'd be great.
It
would take a bit of effort, but you actually could do it if you had substantial beard on your chin, and that's called the side goatee. And you just shave it like it looked like you were in a windstorm, and the goatee blew over to the side.
Your beard was slightly...
I've never seen that.
Yeah, DJ Sidebeard.
That's a good pirate. That's a good pirate character.
Sidebeard the pirate?
Blackbeard? No. Graybeard? No. Sidebeard.
Here he comes. It must have been in a windy ocean.
Yeah.
Blowing it askew. It's actually just so rocking so much that he couldn't shave very well, and he left part of the beard. You know, the mirror broke, and he's just, forget it. I'll just stop there.
Now, when you were in Calgary, what was that in the dark of winter, the hideous Canadian Calgarian winter?
It was, but it just so happened to be like the warmest winter in Calgary history, as it was in Ontario when I was in Toronto this past winter. It was the warmest winter in 40 years, and it was like there to welcome me.
They knew you were coming.
And they were like, you came from BC? Let's warm it up. Let's warm it up for you now that you're here.
And what's strange is we had unseasonably cold weather.
Once you left.
Exactly. Which is like, it tells you what I mean to Vancouver.
You're like the story. Do you know the story of the Selfish Giant?
I don't.
Selfish Giant was an Oscar Wilde story.
I love that book.
I just wrote a parody of it for a Simpsons comic.
Oh, nice.
But the Selfish Giant was a giant. He was very selfish, and he lived in he had his castle and garden, and it was always winter there because he was a selfish jerk. And then whenever some kids broke in through the wall and were playing around, and it became springtime, you know, and he was like, "Get out of here, you!" And I was like, "It's winter again." But like one of the kids was there, and was hurt. Was it he was hurt? Well, he became friends with one of the kids.
He became friends.
And then later on, the kid came back and went, and he had bleeding hands. He was like, "Who did this to you?" You know, and it turns out it was Jesus. Anyway, but yeah. So what we're saying is, you're Jesus.
Allegory. Oh my God.
Wow. There you go. Wow, indeed.
Yeah, that's what I mean to this.
If Jesus came back to Earth now, he'd be a hip hop DJ. I think we can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
He'd probably be a lot cooler now than he was back then.
But everyone would go, "Hey, nice ironic beard." Yeah.
Get a haircut, you hippie.
Yeah, you hipster. No, they'd call him a hipster, I'm sure.
Probably, yeah.
That's right.
Because nobody would be wearing robes like that now.
Yeah, he'd be in a DJ battle with Barabbas, DJ Barabbas. That's just such a good name for a DJ, too.
DJ Barabbas?
That's right. And
Every time you make biblical references, you lose me.
I don't know. I apologize.
It's okay. But it's over the years of knowing you, it's happened a lot.
Yeah,
it's my fault because I don't study the Bible anymore.
Well, that's because
you need to take some Bible study.
Yeah,
I have been trying to convert you. Every group that I've made you a part of, I've subtly tried to slide in. You know, just like maybe you want to follow the Lord.
Toby, have you heard the good news? I got a new driver's license. You just try and sneak it in. That was a really good example for Ian, who, you know, but...
Yeah, I don't have a driver's license.
But you know what
I mean. If I did, it would be a miracle.
It would be a miracle. Have you heard the good news?
Yeah, every time I go to Calgary, because Pia's godchild, my wife Pia's godchild, is in Calgary, the second I step off...
Another biblical reference I'm not getting.
Sorry, you lost me. As soon as you said godchild, I was like... I'm sorry, what is that reference to?
I really hope you don't sneeze or this could get awkward. I step off the airplane and my whole face dries up. Like it just goes...
Oh, it is unbelievable. This is maybe going to be going a little too far, but have you ever had chapped legs? Because that's what I got in Calgary.
No one ever heard of that.
Oh,
did you insist on wearing
how
shorts?
How much chapstick do you have to use on your legs?
Oh man,
to not have chapped legs.
Several tubes. You know how when you're like your lips are dry and they crack, and sometimes you smile and you're like ha ha, and they crack and bleed, and you're like oh my god, I can't believe my lip is just bleeding from me smiling. That's the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Well, my thighs became so dry that my jeans scratched them. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. I don't know. I mean,
that would
I'm not
be good
a doctor.
Though. As a DJ, that sound turned out to be the perfect sound.
What is that? Oh, that's my jeans cutting my skin.
What that's actually called is Calgary leprosy, which is something that you have only when you're there.
I'm not going to give you but the visual I was probably pretty close. It looked so painful. I was looking at my legs, like, what have I done to myself?
Yeah, Calgary I would go into the hotel bathroom and I just run the hot water and just have a steam and be like, oh, moisturize me.
Totally. Oh,
yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Like if you're from Vancouver and you go to Calgary, that's trouble. They should warn you. Yeah. Literally, they should, as you're stepping on the plane, it's like, we're going to have to take your water away. We will give you free water on the other side.
Yeah.
Drink a bottle before you step off the plane. Seriously, you're not going to make it to the cab.
Here's some Jergens. Like,
yeah.
It's
seriously,
not what you think.
Everywhere, brother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is insane there. The dryness is just like, you know, it's exactly what you're saying. It's totally unreal.
Well, that's the popular expression there. Jergens on, Jergens off. That's right. But, you know, I went to Alberta in the winter, and I went to Fort McKenzie, where it was minus 47 below.
Yeah.
And people told me it was cold, but I'm from here.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking cold like here.
Yeah, it'd be like -4.
So I went there. I know I was dressed, you know, in jeans, socks. I had desert boots.
Oh, trouble.
Really bad in wintertime.
No long johns?
No long johns.
Oh, that's trouble.
No wool socks.
Unbearable.
It was
unbearable.
Terrible.
Sassy thong.
I was not ready for it.
Yeah.
I was not ready for the winter there. And going and then Peace River to see a frozen river. I mean, what the bleep?
Yeah. It's like, that's water's supposed to be moving.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, in BC, that stuff would be moving.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
At least in where I'm from in BC, it would be moving. I think maybe up north it probably freezes.
It does get cold. We're pretty lucky here.
Have we mentioned what you did in Calgary when you were there?
I wasn't in Calgary.
Oh, was that not in Calgary?
I never went. I only went to the airport.
You went to Alberta, though.
When I went to Alberta.
I don't think we have on the show.
No. Do we have to talk about it? we can if
Is it oil sands related?
No, it's not.
Wait,
it's...
guess what job? Okay, let's go with this. Let's just do it as a guessing game.
Sure.
All right, Toby, five guesses, and Dave, you answer yes or no.
Okay.
As to
Northern Alberta, right? We're talking about Northern Alberta.
Okay, he went now.
Started
now how old are you at the time? Let's go with this.
I was 19.
So you're a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay, and he's going for work.
My first guess is land pipe.
Laying pipe. Were
and
you
I
laying?
Mean that, I mean that in the funniest sense.
it did happen while I was there, but that was not the job.
Okay, you weren't there just to lay pipe.
Okay, that's number one. We got four more guesses.
You're allowed to ask questions of me to kind of narrow it down.
Can I?
Yeah, okay. They will not count towards your guesses.
Was it oil and gas related?
No, it was not.
Okay, all right. All right. So.
Okay. Was it, were you making money picking things?
No.
Okay we need another guess right now, Toby.
Okay, so... You were tree planting.
No, I wasn't tree planting.
Nope.
Hard to do in the dead of winter.
In the frozen winter, that's right. Yeah, that would be, working. That was a terrible guess from Toby Burger. Okay.
You were leading snowshoe tours through northern Alberta?
No, snowshoe tours?
Can I just say?
We're going to flip all the cards over.
Flip the cards over.
Okay.
Wait. Okay.
I have one more guess.
Okay.
I'll throw a clue.
Go esoteric.
You were part of the Canadian military protecting us from invasion from the Russians.
Though it does look like you. Could I just say this as a clue?
Sure.
It's something that no longer exists as of this year.
Oh.
It would not exist as of this year.
Yeah. And I'll just give one more hint.
Oh, wow.
I did it door to door.
Oh, really? Wow. Door to door.
It no longer exists as of this year.
That's right. Male prostitution.
What? That's true. It's all over with now.
I was going
to
say.
It's because you know what? They're just giving it away now. You go to the bars in town. You don't have to pay for that business.
Apparently, men will just do it.
Were you selling like that old TV with rabbit ears on it? Then you can't use rabbit ears anymore?
I was selling encyclopedias door to door.
Really?
Yeah.
In Northern Alberta?
In Northern Alberta. That's where the money is, apparently.
Really?
Because people were making big money from
that. Okay.
From
now, say I suppose I'm the lady of the house.
And the lady of the house. Well,
all right, now,
okay. Well, can I just?
I'd like your pitch.
I know that, yeah, because I can't remember it now. Is the problem?
Okay,
right?
Fair enough.
Right. Like basically, when I came to the house, I would just say, "I'm going through the neighborhood. We're talking to families with young children."
Mm-hmm. I'm a registered sex offender.
And so then I would. That's right. We're talking with families.
I have to tell you that
legally you have to open the door to let
legally.
Me.
I like this. Last week I'm an anti-Semite. This week I'm a pedophile. Oh, boy. Can I put that on my resume?
No.
Why can't you be both?
Can I be both?
You're a well-rounded, hateful person
That's
with
right.
some weird desires.
I wouldn't do it with Jewish children. That was my thing.
The second you saw a dreidel, erection god.
dreidel. I had a kind of a book that I would show them some things about education.
Mm-hmm.
No mention of books. You didn't say, I'm selling encyclopedias.
Nope.
I'll be back later to talk about it. You didn't say anything like that. Your purpose was to get in the door.
Right.
Once you were in the door, we had this thing that was called a prospectus.
Yeah.
And basically what it was a sample encyclopedia. And we had a memorized speech that we had to give.
May I show you my prospectus?
And I'm serious. I actually did the speech for Ian and another friend.
Yeah.
And they both loved the encyclopedia and wanted to buy it.
Yeah.
Because it was written to sucker you in. Like, it was written by the Xerox Corporation, and, you know, and it was this honed thing, and you had to – we had to perform it to each other in our motel, like, to practice it and to get better at doing it.
Now, when you say your motel, how many guys to a motel?
There was – I think there was five of us.
In a motel room?
No, we would kind of divide.
Are we getting
up
back to laying pipe now?
In a different way?
I find sales really fascinating because, like, as an actor over the years, it's come up a couple times for a side job to go sell, like, super chamois or...
Yeah,
because they look for, like, outgoing, you mm-hmm. know, kind of... And actors are really good liars, I guess. So
you could have been Vince.
I could have been that guy.
You could have been Vince.
But they have incredible techniques to get you to buy
stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, it's really, like...
Could I mention one thing about Vince and the slap chop?
Sure.
Okay, you know how the big deal there is like, hey, this chops your food?
Mm-hmm.
All the food he puts in it, it's already chopped.
Oh, like...
It's already... The chopping process has begun.
Yeah, because it has to fit into that tiny
how
thing.
Does that save you time when you have to chop your food to put it in the chopper?
There's other problems with the slap
Fair
chop.
Fair enough.
I mean, you don't need to get too hard into the slap chop,
yeah.
but there's other problems.
I used to...
The size of it.
The size,
like,
yeah.
You're going to put a handful of nuts in there, like, what, 25 fucking times? So you're going to put it on your ice cream? Like,
that's right. Hello.
Sorry, guys. Who wants more nuts? I got this little slap chop here.
But it saves you so much money, Toby. Yeah. You're slapping your problems away.
I was going to say food processor, but I almost said word processor. Because you could just use a word processor for that. Oh,
yeah.
Wait a second.
No, yeah.
That's a different kind of
What if you wanted to make soup? I mean, you'd be like, okay, hand me those onions one at a time.
4 hours.
And chop them up first.
Actually, can you cut them into small pieces so I can put them in the slap chop to cut them?
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a few other problems with the slap chop.
I was given one, you know, for Christmas or whatever. And so I used to try to use it for cutting herbs.
Oh, yeah.
Which is actually kind of hard because you actually have to really pound it because the blades on those things are useless.
Yeah, and once they go dull,
how do you sharpen them?
And,
you don't.
There's no back and forth. Like,
right.
There should be either like some sort of movement that cutting or something, but it's just going up and down.
Yeah, which is, you're not told to, like, you don't cut your sandwich by shoving the knife through it as hard as you can.
Yeah, that's right. And then really hard, like, bum, 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 bum.
We've taken the ultimate way of chopping. slamming down on a knife over and over again. And slamming straight. Every great chef slams straight down on their knife.
With a blade that's getting duller and duller every time.
What's wrong, Toby? Don't you like choppy?
Yeah.
You don't like choppy?
Yeah.
So actually what I use now is I just use a coffee grinder because we don't drink coffee. Yeah. Well, my wife drinks coffee.
Well, but coffee grinders can be handy for a lot of grinding.
So yeah, it's just great for doing... Okay, I'm getting... I see what
wink,
you're saying.
Wink.
I got wink. This is Vancouver.
Yeah, well, that's not at all what I was talking about, seeds and nuts, but whatever you guys are talking about, that's fine. My brain was going right to seeds and nuts.
That was also Toby and my old comedy troupe, Seeds and Nuts.
Who was seed and who was nut?
You know,
depending on the show.
I'm seeds. He's nuts. We got a lot of guts. We're here to tell everyone. I see, once again, two lines and I'm done.
Done. That was our show.
The only thing that a slap chop would be good for, and this sounds terrible, is killing cockroaches to me. That'd be the only thing that would be good for.
If you can catch
them. Yeah, that's the thing. You gotta, like, one, boom, on the cockroach, and then a quick whack, 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 whack.
That'd be really satisfying, actually. Yeah. It would be kind of satisfying.
It would be kind of satisfying until the aftermath, and then you'd be like, honey, could you clean the slap shop?
Yeah.
Here, you do that.
Yeah. Those chopped pecans? Sure. Right on the ice cream.
He's got a new thing now, the slap chop.
What is his new thing? I'm not staying up as late as I used to.
It's got a funny name. It has a name,
the Schmirsch.
Because he started off with the ShamWow,
yeah,
which was a chamois, which is not hard to buy regardless. There's no reason to order that online. A chamois is an easy thing to purchase.
That's one of the things. The ShamWow is one of the things that they've been selling that along with the Ginsu knives.
Yes.
At, you know, these...
PNE.
The PNE for like the last 25 years.
Yeah. Oh, more than that.
And when it came on TV and the guy was selling a chamois on TV, I couldn't believe it. I was like... Really? Like, a chamois? Like, the thing that you get at the fair that everybody knows is a piece of crap that is, like, you know, like the one that I saw was, like, it's German-engineered, and it's, like, all this...
Yeah.
You know, those Germans, they really make better towels than us.
Well, that's what he says. They make good stuff.
Yeah. Like, secret Nazi technology.
What's that all about? What do you mean the Germans make good stuff?
I know. They have a bit of a history there.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
That's right.
All right, but what is he doing now?
I don't know what it's called.
It starts with a SH sound. It's like the Schlinty.
You're right.
But what it is, it's a roller. It's basically a lint roller.
Sticky.
Right, is that's sticky? Right.
The sticky. Yeah.
Oh. Is it hard to find a lint roller? Like, what's the angle with this now?
That's the thing
But one you can wash off, it doesn't look that great. And then there's all these other brushes that come with it. So they have one that's like taking pet hair off the floor. Frankly.
That looks like hard work.
It looks like hard work.
Super hard work.
It looks like hard work. And how much hair before it's completely covered in hair? Like, basically, at my house, I have a dog that sheds a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I could maybe do, 8 inches of carpet, and I would have to go wash it.
Yep.
That would take me hours. But here's the thing, is I did find, a really useful tool at the P&E, which was a pet hair remover. It's a attachment for a vacuum. And it has, you know, those brushes that you have for taking lint off and stuff like that. One way it comes off and one way it goes on.
Yeah.
So they're turned opposite to each other. And so it picks up the hair and it guides it into the center and then up into the vacuum.
Mm.
And it actually works really well. Like, you can vacuum with a power head and lay on the ground with your black clothes on and get up and you look like the dog. But after you use that thing, you can seriously lay down and maybe just like a few hairs, stray hairs, but almost all of them are gone. It's so great. But I've never seen it for sale since then because I've always wanted to buy another one because it's getting a little bit used. Like, the brush heads are getting kind of worn out.
Check the online.
Yeah.
Check the internet.
Or those stores, the As
Seen on TV. Seen TV. Yeah. I do like going in those stores, frankly.
Mm-hmm. This is amazing because you're like, I haven't seen this on TV yet. That's what I think.
They're also random. It's like, it's not a store that sells one thing. It's just like, what a variety of crazy shit.
It is. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I know. It's a very unique store. I like it. It's a great, I've come to realize too that those things, those late night ad things, are Christmas presents. Like, I don't think anybody really buys them for themselves. Like, they kind of...
That's what Ron Popeil actually said about the Fish and Magician,
Fisherman?
It was called both things, I think. Okay,
that's how I know it is, the Pocket Fisherman.
Yeah, and it was like, well, who'd want to get this, says one person, and Ron Popeil replies, well, no one wants to get it, but it's for people to give. It's like there's always someone who needs something to give their dad. What are you going to give your dad for, you know, for the holidays or his birthday or whatever? What are you going to do?
That's what I
think. Just a bunch of junk because your dad doesn't do anything.
No, your dad sits around.
Yeah. Your dad watches TV. Like, you can't only get one TV. I could buy him another TV. I could buy him a mirror so that he could see the television by turning his head slightly.
Yeah, I bought my dad a computer once, and that was it. You know, then we're done. We're done for gifts. Like, I got nothing else for you except maybe some computer software.
Well, I hope that every year you pointed out, like, you didn't give him anything and you just pointed out, well, you know, I did buy you a computer a couple years ago, Dad.
Yeah, every time I just walked in the house, little point, and then just keep going. Yeah. You enjoy that Atari 800 computer, Dad. Comes with Star Raiders.
Enjoy it.
Nah, he bought his own Atari. I upgraded him to the future, and that was good. Yeah.
Nice. You're a good son.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, did you ever do any sales or did you ever
No, I never signed up, but I did go see some demonstrations of how it works, and I got the pitch on like what to do. And some of it is just absolutely incredible. Like at the end of the Super Chamois demonstration, when you have also the mop that comes with it, and there's a bunch of other things that you get if you buy today, is all bullshit. It's like you always get that stuff. It doesn't matter.
If you order in the next 10 minutes.
Yeah. And what he would do is, like, before he would close the deal, he would point into the crowd in between people. So in the spaces between people, and he'd say, so I can see that you want one, and I can see that you want one. So that the people who weren't being pointed at would kind of look behind them and think that other people were buying it.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, well, if that lady's buying it, then maybe I'll get one. And if that didn't work, you actually just physically shoved it into their hands at the end of the show and said the words, take this up to the front and pay for it.
Really?
Like, yeah, you just be like, and there you go, take this up to the right, and they'll deal with you up there. And you just shove it into people's hands.
So you create this sort of hypnotic trance.
That's right.
Because it really does work, though. I'm not joking, because it's, you know, if they're and they're probably following a pattern that they've learned.
Oh, absolutely. It goes back to snake oil salesmen.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely tried and true pattern of selling stuff that people don't want.
Oh, yeah. And I could not believe how effective it was. Like, you know,
it's amazing.
I sold a lot of books, and I was not that serious, but I would go, I would walk around for a while, and then I would get bored, and then I would go sit in apartment lobbies and read.
Yeah.
That was my, and then I'd be like, geez, it's getting near the end of the week and I'm running out of money for food. I better sell a set. So I would go and try and sell a set, and then I'd be like, okay, now I can coast again.
Yeah.
Cause I really didn't enjoy it. I was basically just trapped there because, you know, you fly out. And it's a huge pyramid scheme. That's the other thing about encyclopedia sales. Like, it was weird. Like, I had to leave really early, so one of the guys who worked there volunteered to drive me to the airport. Well, he lived in Shaughnessy. He had this big fancy house in Shaughnessy, a Porsche and stuff like that, from selling encyclopedias. But because he made money from me selling encyclopedias.
Right.
And someone above him made money from him selling encyclopedias.
Right, you were a staff, basically.
And but they still had to go sell. Right. It didn't matter where you were. Even the president of the company still had to go out and sell and make his quota. Even though he was still making money off our work, he still had to go and sell. It was really it was interesting.
My other experience with sales was when I won, you know, when they're like, hey, you've won an Egyptian, what was it? An Egyptian papyrus work of art.
Okay.
And it was a random phone call. And I was like, great, I'd love to have that piece of art. And they're like, great, all you need to do is let our vacuum salesman come over and do a demonstration. And I said, no problem. Send him right over. I want that piece of art. And they were like, okay. So I broke out my video camera. And when the guy showed up, I said, I go, dude, right away, I just have to be up front with you. I'm a theater student. I have no money. I'm not buying this vacuum, but I really want to see your demo. And I'm going to record it. And it's like, I don't know. I was like, come on, dude, just do your best show. And he was like, okay. So he did this whole demonstration, vacuumed our entire house.
Wow.
And then at the end, would not give it up. Like, kept trying to, like, and he said, it's $2,000. And I was like, I told you right from the top, there's no way. He's like, tell you what, I'm going to make a phone call. Let's see what I can do. And he went on that train of like, okay, I'm going to get it down. He goes, I talked to my manager. He never does this, but I'm going to give it to you for $1,500. Yeah. I was like, $1,500 is $1,500 too much. And he's like, okay, just hold on a second. I'm going to call my manager. And he kept going. Like, he went down to like $900.
Meanwhile, he's just making long distance phone calls on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to call my manager. Yeah.
Hello, Australia?
Yeah, exactly.
I sold tire package subscriptions What's that mean? I don't know.
Yeah, tire package.
Tire package subscriptions.
I remember,
like,
when
once
you did
a year,
that.
you get tires in the mail or something.
I don't quite remember how it goes, but you get a certain amount of, like, you know, you get this discount off a tire, and if you get this tire, then you'll and so on and so on. So it was one of those where, like, you get into a room and the guy goes, "It's going to be this. It's going to be great." Tells you his dreams, and he's just slimy, just so slimy.
Yeah, everything is like covered in slime. Every word is like,
yeah. Yeah, it's like let's bond first. Let's go to the arcade first, guys. We're all going to go to the arcade. So we all went to the arcade. We're playing arcade games. It was like, all right, yeah, woo! And my friend Randy did a similar thing, and his guy had the slogan, you know, let's all hug each other and go, "Let's get juiced! Let's get juiced!" And you're all pumped and like, go! Yeah. And so he was getting us juiced by being at the arcade. And it was like, okay, go out there and you sell these things. And so you had to go, like, store to store to sell. And that's the worst. Because it's like, it's not even like going to someone's house. It's going to someone's shop.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, "Hey, may I help you?" "No, may I help you?" And it's just like, oh, it's the worst. And there was this, and of course you get nothing but no's. But there was this pretty girl who was in our group, and she was selling like crazy. So I was like, ah, shit, I don't know if she's doing – listen, I got to go places I know she's not going. So I went to Granville Street, and I went to the scuzziest, porniest part of town. And I went to all the porn shops because I went, "She's not coming in here."
Yeah.
And I ended up selling a package. And so we're signing the deal, and I'm looking down through the glass counter at this thing of rubber vaginas looking up at me. And I just went, "I can't do this. I can't do this. I got to – And I had to quit, and the guy, like, wouldn't give me my money for what I'd, like, got him. And it's just like, because you're a quitter. Quitters don't get paid. So, like, okay, fuck, whatever.
Okay, so,
yeah. And so I ended up going to the McDonald's. I was really, like, so mad. And I'm eating my cheeseburger. And that's when they had the Mac Tonight promotion. And they went, "Ladies and gentlemen, today in the shop, Mac Tonight."
He's in the restaurant?
He's in the restaurant.
The lowest
when has that happened ever? Even McDonald's, where entertainment starts up, Mac Tonight's here when the clock strikes. And Mac comes out and he's doing all the finger, like, "Whoa, to you." And, "Hey, buddy, how's it going, pal?" Big moon-headed guy, really creepy.
Hell
and
gig.
I'm just like, Jesus. This is the worst day of mine. I don't ever want to do this again.
Wait, how do you think he felt?
I got to work harder. Well, he's getting paid, though, I'm sure. Like, they expected him to be there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't like Mac Tonight walking into a Burger King going, "Who wants Big Macs?"
Good point.
Or just into a store. "How can I help you?" Yeah. "How can I help you when the clock strikes?"
I actually brought Dave along with me when there was this girl who stopped me once on a SkyTrain and was like, hey, good looking. And I was like, okay, I don't know where this is going.
But I like it,
sort of. And she went, like, "I'm going to this meeting tonight, and, you know, you should come," and all this kind of business. I went, "This sounds a little weird. I should bring Dave." And it was kind of a cult type situation.
It was the
Landmark Forum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just going to guess the Landmark Forum. I was going to guess that.
But long story short on that, and we may go back to make it a long story again. But Dave was saying how it was a lot of the same techniques they used in the room were the same ones they used in encyclopedia salesmanship, which was they would sit us in between people who were already, you know, acolytes.
Oh yeah,
you know, and so when someone would make a joke, it's people like in front of you and to your sides going, "Ah ha ha." And they'd look at you with a, "Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny, huh?" Or like they make a point and it's like, "Eh, good point, huh? That's right, huh?" And it was like a lot of that business.
There's a lot of yes to it, right? That's the main thing, is to get you going, yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
And you know what?
Don't you want to have a better life?
There's money involved, right? It costs money because I know that's a big pyramid scheme, too. I know people that are involved in it.
How you say you can't afford $1,500?
Yeah.
Toby, you can't not afford $1,500.
I know, and it's only $1,500.
Toby, what are your dreams worth?
Yeah, exactly. What is your life worth?
Yeah, don't you want to self-realize your life and your dreams? Listen, I used to be like you.
Yeah.
I used to think I didn't have money. But you know what, Toby? You've got the money if it's important to you.
You totally lost me.
No, Toby, you know what you should do, Toby? Invest in yourself.
Yeah,
this is an investment in Toby Berner. Why not?
No, you can't. But you can't say it like that, though. You have to say it like this. Aren't you worth blah, 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 blah? Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Isn't this worth it to you? Yes, it is.
Yeah, right. I know.
You have to get the yes working because once you have the yeses rolling out, the same thing we did. Like, first thing we did was talk about education.
And don't you want your kids to succeed?
Don't you want your kids to succeed? That's right. Do you know the da-da-da amount of kids, you know, with this and that? You know, I mean, obviously now, all the stuff we weren't offering a bad thing, in my opinion. Like, the encyclopedia, it wasn't a terrible encyclopedia. It would help kids get through school. These kids were if you've ever been to a library in the towns, like I did go to the library because I'd be bored and I would just stop by the library and see what it was like, look at some books in it, whatever, sit around because it's warm. And they're bad. The libraries are bad. And there was no internet in those days, right? This mm-hmm. was, you know, so it wasn't like I was selling garbage. The yeah. fact is that I was selling books to people that I think they were tricked to buy them, though. It wasn't necessarily that it was bad what they were getting, but we were tricking them.
But in a way, isn't that, I mean, that's all sales.
All sales,
that's
yes.
pretty much all sales.
Go buy a
that's
car and the whole, yeah. you know, I got to go talk to my manager.
Yeah.
The guy sitting there closes the door, sits outside, has a drink of water, then walks back in, you know, come on.
I know, that's exactly
he never does garbage. This. He never does. It almost feels yeah. like what you do with magic, you know, it's like misdirection. It's mm-hmm. like, look over here, now it's a little of this. And
yeah.
what I'm telling you isn't what you're seeing. Whatever.
It is a sales pitch. Well, I mean, what they call a magic routine is patter, and what they call a sales pitch is patter. Like it's
yeah,
it has the same name.
They're the same thing.
Wow, yeah, interesting. That is kind of interesting that yeah. there's a crossover. And I think you're right because I don't know if I know I didn't talk about last show, but because I did mention it when we were talking after the show that I was talking about Buster Keaton, and he as a child he was born into a traveling medicine show.
Oh right, yeah,
and one of the performers was Harry Houdini, and so you think that kind of connection between you know medicine shows mm-hmm. that kind of patter selling stuff and magic obviously. You know, there was some sort of relation there that they could be together and, you know,
yeah.
it's kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, the other thing about sales and snake oil salesmen, and I learned this all from my friend Brian, who did this show, Arnie the Carney, about carnival salesmen and stuff okay. like that, was that they were masters of gathering a crowd, much like a street performer
okay.
or like any kind of performer.
Yeah.
And their main thing was gathering a crowd. And
sure.
once they had the crowd, they could sell them anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, like they would do things like come to the middle of a town, start arranging like a skull across some rope, just kind of arranging it in
yeah.
a circle until
yeah.
people kind of gathered around and were wondering what the hell this guy was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And once he had a crowd, he put it all away and started selling snake oil. It's like, okay, that's all done. Yeah. Now, who wants to get some snake oil?
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
yeah.
you know, so it's like it's the same kind of principle as somebody, you know, barking to get a crowd to do a juggling show or
sure,
whatever. It's
sure, like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, like if you're on Granville Island and they're putting one of those shows on, yeah, there's that whole.
It is a show. That's why they're
yeah,
looking for actors.
There's that whole
yeah,
thing.
Super Shammies.
Yeah.
It's a big show.
There. Now, I got a question that just mentioned briefly that you are a magician.
Well, yeah, I consider myself a bit of an amateur magician.
Okay.
I would say, like, real magicians as opposed to me do everything, and I do a lot of card magic.
I was touring with a magician once, and Dave knows. Okay, two quick stories.
Yeah.
One, the magician was who's someone who's quite famous right now, and actually just was on Penn and Teller's Fool Us show. Have you seen that?
I have seen, and I know who you're speaking of
because
yeah. you toured with this guy Sean Farquhar.
Yeah, that, and yeah. now we've named names. That's fine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's absolutely fine.
Were you trying to hold that back?
Maybe a little bit, but it's fine.
Well, you're mentioning that he's on there.
Well,
so
I'm hoping to have him on the show one day.
Oh,
that'd be great.
Okay.
Well, let's mention him because then we can invite
friends.
Him on the show.
I am friends. Yeah, he's a very nice guy.
Okay, we won't say his name anymore.
Sean Farquhar?
But he's a 2-time world champion of card magic.
He's amazing, yeah.
Of card magic. Wow, that's impressive.
World champion.
We traveled, and this was in his early days.
Mm-hmm.
And so traveling with his wife, it was Farquhar and Felicity, mm-hmm. and we traveled with a cockatiel, a couple of rabbits, a couple of doves, and so I'm in the back with the cockatiel, with the doves and whatever, and the cockatiel is easily spooked and loose. Because the cockatiel
really?
Does not want to be caged, right? So the cockatiel is like loose.
He was a free spirit,
right? He's fairly calm.
He had,
you know?
He had long feathers and a headband.
Here's where the cockatiel gets upset. If it goes dark and then something moves in the dark, the cockatiel freaks out.
Right.
You know, so, and he'd occasionally do stuff like just for fun where we're driving up in the mountains and he'll turn the lights off completely when we're on a windy road and it's like we're going to almost die. And he's like, ha, ha, ha.
Hilarious.
It's funny, funny, funny. And he turns the lights back on. But then the cockatiel screams and goes nuts and it's panicking. But he was bragging about how, you know what, I never pay more. He's one of these guys that like brags a lot about like what he pays for stuff. Like, I got this. How about that? What a deal.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much a popcorn machine costs, but it's great
yeah.
that you bought it for that. And now you can rent it out. I don't know. But
yeah.
it's just like, huh? Yeah. There you go. But he was going, I never pay more than $1,000 for a car. Ever. I was like, oh, that's good. So we're in Kimberley, B.C. It's snowing.
To be fair to him, this was, you know, 20 years ago.
Less time than that, but yeah, generally. So he's driving the car, and then the car starts going slow, and he's like, oh, don't worry.
To be fair to him, this was 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's a big snowstorm, and the car starts slowing down. It's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And he turns off the windshield wipers, and the car starts picking up speed. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to turn off the radio. And the car picks up a little... Like, he just gets shutting everything down that he possibly can to keep going.
The alternator must have been dying.
Something. But, like, so...
It was the alternator.
So he and his wife both have their arms out and are wiping snow off. And it's like, this is really getting dangerous. Listen, we're on one of the main roads. Let's just pull off to the side. It's like, there we go. Well, we didn't realize there were ditches off to the side that had filled up with snow looking level.
But
they're not. So he pulls off to the side. Now the car goes sideways. We're in the ditch. And I'm in just like Magician's Jamboree of birds and cockatiels screaming and rabbits. Did you know rabbits can scream? They can. Wow. And so the rabbits would like...
I knew that from Watership Down.
Oh, horrific. And we end up having to like climb out of the side of the car, locking the animals in the car. And then he's like, no, I got to bring the bird out because he'll be freaking out. And he brought that out. And he was like, no, I should bring out the doves because they feel weird too. So we had to bring all the animals out. So we're now all the animals. And we got a hitchhike at the side of the road. And he's dressed magician style.
No
She's in
way.
The sexy outfit with a coat on.
No.
And I'm looking like myself. And we're holding birds and rabbits. And I'm looking like the craziest fuckers in the world. And then, yeah, trucks are and you know what? Trucks will stop if you've got big birds with you and
yeah,
you're dressed like magician.
I mean, they're pretty much driving by going, oh, these guys are definitely screwed.
Yeah. They're definitely screwed. We would be circus folk that just freeze to death at the side of the road.
Luckily, at that moment, an ark drove by. Sorry, yeah. We lost Toby again there. I'm sorry.
No, that's Old Testament.
Oh, okay.
That would work. Okay, we're all fine.
I'm familiar
with
it.
As long as
story.
It's from Genesis, we know the stories.
Yeah.
That's as far as anyone got.
So my question to you was,
yes.
being a magician,
yeah.
You also play poker.
Yeah.
Why would people play poker with you? Because I do this. Another friend of mine, David Fine, is an amateur magician. I play poker with him. He's one of the guys I play poker with. And every time I just go, you could totally, like, I've seen you make cards float and, like, you know, vanish, and this one rises to the top and this business, and it's the same damn deck of cards.
Yeah.
How do people trust you while they're playing poker?
Oh, they shouldn't. All of the card magic comes from gambling slides.
Yes, that makes total sense. Yes.
Every piece of card magic is about ripping off the people you're playing poker with, so they really, no, you should not play, you shouldn't play poker with me. You shouldn't trust me.
But he plays poker with other magicians, so each of them is constantly scanning and stacking and moving the deck,
switching the decks.
Yeah. That's something I would always want to see. It's like when they have those celebrity poker tournaments, and it's like, why not have all magicians?
And really, like, let them go loose.
Yeah,
like,
just let them go loose. If you get called on something, you're out. But if they call you on it and you didn't do something, then they're out.
You know who you should pitch that show idea to?
No.
2-time world champion of card magic, Sean Farquhar, when you get him on your show.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually. It'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I saw him because I was studying card magic and studying tricks and trying to learn as much as I could. And I watched the trick that he did on Penn & Teller, and it's absolutely amazing. It's a total mind-blowing trick. He does fool 2 of the greatest magicians, you know, around right now.
Yeah.
And they're just so knowledgeable. It's incredible that any magician could go in and fool them. But the trick that he did
He is remarkable. We did have one other quick story about him on that tour. We went to this bar and the ceiling wasn't as high as it should be. And he did the slicing the lady in half thing in 3 ways.
No way.
Right.
In the bar?
Yeah, in the bar. basically a stripper stage, frankly, it was.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he does this slicing the lady in 3. And something went wrong and the light was too close and it set the box on fire.
Oh.
But of course, everyone thinks it's part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bit of an incident with that. Everyone got out okay.
He put it out with a cockatiel. He's slapping at the...
Doves, the doves were the ones that would just like... Yeah,
which
you
box?
Had,
was it the legs that got on fire? Which part?
No, it was the top.
It was too
close to like one of the, I guess, stripper lights that was up top. It got really heated, and we had to have that up there before the show began.
He had her box leaning against a brass pole, so she wasn't actually laying flat.
Right.
It was sort of leaning, and then it touched the light.
The other thing about that I would say, although I am an amateur magician, the thing about Sean or people that sort of have dedicated their entire lives to magic. And I just got into it late in life when I was touring with you in San Francisco.
Is that right? Is that when you got into it?
That's kind of when I started, was when I was with you and we were doing the San Francisco Sketch Fest.
Yeah.
And we went down to the docks and there was this magic shop there. And I thought, you know, I've never really been in a real magic shop, but I love magic and I want to get
It's a great magic shop, that one, yeah.
And I went in there and I asked the guy, I was like, you know, I just want to pick up a deck of cards and do something cool with it. And he went, you mean like this? And he started doing all this cool stuff with cards. And
speaking of patter, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, exactly. And so he sold me this book, The Royal Road to Card Magic, which okay. is the, you know, the Bible of card magic was printed in 1942 originally. And a lot of those tricks everybody still does, and it's like, a lot of the principles are still the same, so I just started studying this book and got really into it, and that's kind of how I started. But you know, Sean's dad and Sean's grandfather were both magicians, and they passed that knowledge yeah. on. And that's the way it is for a lot of these professional guys; is it's a family tradition,
yeah.
And they're keeping it going. And I watched him do this interview where they were asking him about his daughter, who is now involved in shows and stuff like that. And they were like, "So, you know." Do you think that your daughter will get involved in magic? And he said, oh, no, I, my daughter can do whatever she wants in her life as long as she's a magician. I've told her that, you know, like many times. I thought that was an awesome quote.
Interesting.
Yeah, one final magician story. This may be Sean. This may not be Sean because this may not be legal. So it could be a different magician than I'm
okay,
talking
this
about
is
right
a,
now.
This is a different one. You
this could it. Be a different guy.
Okay, it's yeah. a hypothetical
Let's just
story.
Say it's a different magician.
It is. Okay.
His name is Mandrake.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, oh, Mandrake. Now I really dated my first girlfriend was Mandrake's assistant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the guy that, you know, the original Mandrake, yeah.
You dated an old lady.
Yes, I did. I dated a woman in her 70s. I was not fussy. That's not true. He played a lot of Delta Fairs around that time.
Okay.
He was pretty impressive, actually, Mandrake. He would hypnotize kids. Like, he would do the thing where, like, you line up all these kids and say, all right, now your feet are stuck and you can't move, and anyone that moves over here gets a dollar. Okay, here we go. Who wants the dollar? Dollar's in front. Come on, get your dollar. And all the kids are, oh, I can't move my legs. And wow. They're all so frustrated. And it's just like, okay, well, I'm going to pick up the dollar. And now you can move your legs. Snaps his fingers and they all can move their legs. And they're, oh, and the kids are all upset.
Wow, that is impressive.
Yeah, he was really good. But okay, this other magician that we'll call...
Whoever.
I was going to go Lothar, but that's Mandrake's assistant. I've got no improv skills right now anyway. So anyway, he was performing at a hotel, and then the hotel afterwards went, yeah, we'll pay you tomorrow. It was one of those. You know, you
nice.
Run into
Classic.
That a lot. Yeah,
Classic.
Nice. Okay. Listen, the manager's not here to sign the check, so it goes up tomorrow. Well, the manager's not here. We'll just mail you the check if that's okay. It's just, and it's like, no, you got to pay me the check. That's the way it goes. Oh, okay. I wish I could help you, buddy, but you know, I can't do anything about it. What are you going to do? Yeah, no, that's a good point. Could you just pay me or there's going to be some problems? Oh, well, what are you going to do? All right, fair enough. So, so he's a lock picker. That's one thing that he can do.
Oh, okay.
So he goes and
this is Mandrake we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is
some magician.
This is someone.
Actually, this is just a very common skill for him.
And the hotel is not very full. Let's go with that.
Okay.
He basically steals about 10 televisions, loads them into his car, takes them to a field, and then just goes. Yeah, hi there. I'm the magician that was performing here today. You might have noticed 10 of your televisions has gone missing. They're all here in a field. And if I could just get that check off of you, we'll be bringing those TVs back. So nice. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're going to call the police. Yeah, okay. So just leave them in the field is what you're saying then?
That's a great move.
Yeah, all right. Because I don't think anyone will drive by and try and steal these 10 TVs. They're off the side of the road. All right, fair enough. So, yeah, you end up getting paid.
Nice.
So I just thought, like, magicians in real life using their skills
yeah.
to, you know,
skills
get
and
vengeance.
Magic.
That sounds yeah. like a TV show. Let's make that TV show.
Well, one of my favorite shows used to be Bill Bixby's The Magician. Do you
yeah.
ever see that show?
I remember it from the 70s, but I don't remember, like, watching it.
He lived at the Magic Castle in Los Angeles.
Right.
That was the deal.
Very famous.
Yeah, and people would come up to him with problems, and he would solve them with magic.
Magic.
And he'd do actual. They made a big point was all the magic you see is actual magic. There's no camera cuts.
Yeah.
So every trick that you're seeing him do, he's actually doing.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
so that
yeah,
was kind of
yeah.
neat. Every show, you'd see a couple of magicians doing something, and then he'd do a couple of stunts. And
yeah, like, I mean, if you like magic, which I love magic. Do you remember? I think it was before the Muppet Show. They had this European magic show. Half an hour magic show, so it was like
some magic. Was it also like a variety show?
No, it was just a half hour of magic. It was usually performed like before a curtain, so it was kind of small, like small kind of I don't know what you call it, but just you know the hats or cards and things, not big
close up magic.
Yeah,
I've probably seen some like scenes from it. It's on YouTube or something.
It was on half an hour before the Muppet Show every Saturday.
Huh. Well, Merv Griffin used to do that a bit too. He'd have magic themed shows. Mm-hmm. Back then I was a huge magic fan, and you know, I had the Marshall Brodeen magic kit for kids and all the tricks and what have you. Anytime Merv Griffin or whatever had that, it was like, oh, you gotta watch this show, and it was just amazing. Yeah.
And I think, you know, also backing up a little bit, because I played poker and I was like really into cards already.
Right.
I think that's kind of why I really was attracted to card magic. Not to rip off my friends and not to strictly to steal from
not
people.
Not strictly
and,
to, yeah.
You
not
know, and deal myself aces.
That's a happy accident.
Yeah, that just, you know, that just comes with the territory. But I think that's kind of what drew me to it too. It's just like, it's kind of fun to handle cards. They do have a bit of a magic to them. Like there's, you know, that's why they use them as tarot cards, I think.
Well, I used to love to perform the card tricks that Penn and Teller would set up for you on their specials, you know, with the... You ever see those where...
Oh, they do it over the television?
They would have it on the television. They'd teach you the trick, and then they'd give you like a little thing, like it'd be like a news clip or something.
Okay.
And so you would do the trick for a friend or whoever. It wouldn't work. You couldn't find the card. Then you'd go, let's just watch TV. You'd turn on the TV, and there'd be a news person, and then they would go, is this your card? And they'd hold up the card that you wanted.
They awesome. Also have a graveyard.
Yeah,
they've got a tomb that's got, is this your card on it? Oh, so you do the magic trick to the person, and then you just take them out to the graveyard. I just want to go say goodbye to my grandfather. And just like, I'm sorry, I didn't get that trick. What was it again? Is that 3 o'clock? 3 o'clock, January. So you go out there, and it's like, huh?
Is this your card?
Yeah, no.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
Well, I just want to be, it's getting near the end of the show, but I wanted to bring up one
It's becoming
one
the magic
thing.
Hour.
Yeah.
The magic hour, that's right. The last time that I saw Toby before this Titmouse show was...
I love that song, The Last Time I Saw Toby.
Yeah, that's such a touching
the
song.
The old spiritual.
It's also the name of my new band.
The last time that I saw Toby was in a mirror. It was Titmouse, performed on the night that the Vancouver Canucks played the San Jose Sharks.
Oh, right.
Do you remember that show?
I do, and we all went out into the lobby.
We went in the lobby and watched that show.
Yeah.
And I remember when that was when they won and were going to play the Stanley Cup. They beat the Sharks. Yeah. And that game, was it 4-2 they won that game? I can't remember.
No, it was overtime.
It was overtime, right.
It was an overtime goal.
Yeah. That's right.
It was Kevin Bieksa scoring in overtime off a crazy bounce.
A crazy bounce off the stanchion, yeah.
Nobody saw it go in.
Yeah, and I remember you were leaping around. You were so happy. You were leaping around. You were hugging another guy. You were just like so happy. Like, this is great. Like, it was just such a great moment because... You know, we weren't at home watching it, which is how I mostly watch hockey games. I can't afford to go, and I could never afford to go to a playoff game.
Yeah.
And so it was just really fun. Like, we watched that show, and then during the intermissions, and you know, we would run out into the lobby. We'd watch, you know, whatever we could of the game. And it just so happened that when the game had overtime, that's right, it had overtime. Yeah. And so we were able to watch the overtime, at the end of the show. And so we were all sitting, that's right, and I remember that.
You know what I kind of remember about that night, actually, was that was a really big hockey game. And in Vancouver, whenever the Canucks are in the playoffs, it absolutely destroys live theater
and
live performance.
Yeah.
And especially at that venue where we were performing, which is the big improv company. I'm not going to name names because I don't want to get sued, but some improv company works out of there. And
Is it Comedy Sports?
Yeah, exactly, with a Z at the end.
And, two Zs.
Yeah. But I remember what a nice crowd we had. I was like, for our first, you know, Titmouse show, we had a really great audience of people that were there to see comedy on a hockey game night, and I was really...
Yeah,
I was really excited to see
every performer who came out was like, "Thanks for being here. I know there's a hockey game." Like, they're just so like, sorry, we're taking it away from the hockey game."
I know, and thank God they won too.
It was
show.
It was just a great. It was like that was one of the highlights for me of the. Yeah. And of course, you know, after that, the results weren't so happy. So that was.
It took a while to get to the unhappy results, though.
Yeah,
there was
still
a lot of chicken wings and french fries to be had before that series ended.
And tough houses for shows.
I know, seriously. It's like somebody mentioned at the end of that whole playoff run, they're like, I can't eat any more chicken wings because that's all they did was go to bars to watch the game.
See, I mostly watch them at home. So I mostly, and no one else, my wife and daughters, none of them are interested in hockey in the least. So it's me by myself. Yeah. I remember there was one game where Kessler scored, and I leapt up in the air and I smashed my fingers into the ceiling.
Oh, classic.
Trying to high five God.
That's right. It's because God loves the Canucks, right? Come on, high five! Smash! Oh, that wasn't so good. bleeding fingertips.
I did dance around and hug somebody. Who was that? I can't remember who that was.
There's a lot of hugging going on.
There was a lot of hugging that night.
Yeah.
A lot of high fives.
Was it? No, I don't want to guess.
Somebody else who was really, really excited about that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the riot was kind of bullshit, but that's just me, because we were there, and it was literally like kids walking around going, think we should riot afterwards? Yeah, it seems to be what we should do. Yeah, and literally discussing it. Like, it's just like, so what they, I think we should do, like, none of them, it was like that party where you need the one kid to actually do the thing before everyone else does it, but, you know, everyone's just like, well, we should maybe, I don't know, yeah. But it didn't feel legit.
Totally the vibe. It was like, they'd been hearing about it since 94, so they're like, oh, I guess this is what we do now.
Yeah. This is the thing to, I suppose.
And I think, the mix was different, too, like, when you look at, I mean, because everyone was basing their what they're expecting on the Winter Olympics and how the men's hockey finals went.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, that was such a great moment and such a great time, right? And everyone had a great time.
Yeah.
But the mix was different. It was mostly adults. It was mostly families.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't a bunch of young people gathered in the hundreds of thousands, liquored up.
Who wanted to feel something, but it wasn't this, and again, I was there for the first riot. Like,
so I mean, this is the thing I think is really interesting, is if you went through both of those riots, they were really different.
Yeah, the second one was bullshit. The first one was legitimately people going, ah, smash, angry. This one was like, you guys think we should throw a brick? I don't know. It was almost like the polite Canadians going, it seems the thing to do, lads. Well, let's have at it. Smashy, smashy. And then if you see pictures of people from the first riot, angry. If you see pictures of the people from the new riot, smiles.
New riot.
And they go like, well, why are they smiling? Because it's not real, man.
Yeah.
They're not treating it like a real thing. They think they can just get away with all this. And so that's what it is. They're not stabbing each other. You know, it's not even punchy Saturday night. It's just, I don't know, seems to be, let's break in and get some stuff.
Yeah. But the original riot was much smaller. It was a much more localized area. The second riot was huge. It spread over, like, you know, maybe eight city blocks.
The actual riot in 94 closed the entire downtown core. They shut off the SkyTrains.
Well, I know they shut off the SkyTrains, but the actual riot itself is basically Robson, wasn't it? It didn't spread out too much.
Yeah, we were then at the Back Alley Theater at Robson and Thurlow, and it was very close to that. Mm-hmm. That was almost like the epicenter of it.
Mm-hmm,
and yet, the next day I had to go into work and doing something in the morning, and I'm walking through the streets in the morning. Everything's fixed. Like, really? Like, you saw maybe one broken window.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I saw the riots on the news that night, it was the first time I went, oh, this is something happening in my town. I see how you record doing this.
Yeah.
And they were like, the Canadian news were recording it up high, like the cameras were at head level.
Yeah.
And American news was recording it at waist level. So it just looked like, it's hell on earth. Oh, how will they ever fix everything? Next morning, done. And I think, like, if your riot really is a horrible riot, you can't fix it in like 6 hours, but apparently we could. Well, and the same thing with this one.
The cameras on I remember Sports Page was there, because I was a big fan of Sports Page as a kid, and they were there to film the parade, basically, the happy celebrations. So they were all set up on the roofs on Robson Street, ready to. And next thing you know, they're engulfed in tear gas.
I remember that scene. Well, the one thing about the 94 riot, too, is that none of that was planned. Like, there was no central meeting place. There was no, like, when we win, everybody go there. It just became Robson and Thurlow. And there was no plan for that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you had one of the busiest intersections of the city, like, slammed with 10,000 people that no cars could get through. Yeah. And it was like, they were totally unprepared for any of that stuff.
Totally, yeah.
And then the weird thing was to then, after that happening at the end of the Stanley Cup riot, or the Stanley Cup Finals in 94, to get to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals and invite 150,000 people into the downtown core without any extra police force, or like, or not enough, like not nearly enough.
And even if you won, like,
why would you do that?
Well, even if you won, what's the plan if you win? Like, that was the lose scenario, which was like, oh, what do we do now? But it literally was, what do we do? There's nothing for us to do. But if they had won, What was the scenario then?
It would probably have been the same.
Yeah,
we're all going to go to the what and do what.
It would have been the same.
Yeah.
I think it was Riot no matter what
happened. I think what you needed was something at that point. We're going to go to BC Place and celebrate. We're going to have something happen here. Go to here. And we're going to have some fireworks. We're going to do
if we lose, disperse quickly.
If we lose, we're going to shoot the fireworks at you.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a big platform, and it is tipped up towards the crowd, you know.
But it's amazing how few people got hurt. And I think that shows what the mindset, you know, it felt like less people got hurt than a typical Saturday, Granville night.
It looked like a big party to me.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like you know, when you used to go to like field parties and somebody would pull up with a keg and light a fire, and next thing you know, like 10 guys are fighting next to you. And
it's usually not a car on fire, but
You know, but it might get there.
Yeah, something I
Some
heard
loser's car shows up.
both Dave and I are originally.
This was Carisdale, everyone. Yeah. It's the ghetto of Vancouver.
Exactly.
Dave and I lived in the suburbs, and, you know, and there was a lot of like, this is the people from the suburbs coming, like, you know, for all that. I was like, yeah, it is. It is people from the suburbs. Because you don't break your own glass. You don't do that.
Yeah.
But if you're like, you know, what do you do? I don't know. Something, I don't know, throw some shit, smashy, breaky,
because
breaky,
what's weird
fighty,
is
fighty.
They had huge celebrations in the suburbs. They had, like in Surrey, which is kind of the, what would you call it, the kind of infamous suburb, sort of, you know, the, you know, want a joke suburb, you say Surrey. So in Surrey, they had a large gathering with a television. They had a huge amount of people there. There was no riot there. You know, the riot was in Vancouver, where it was supposed to be, I guess, is the thing.
It just needed one spark. P and I went down. First, we walked through our neighborhood, and there were people with their TVs out on their front lawns, big screen TVs. Kids are watching. It's great fun.
Yeah,
we walked
across
the Canby Bridge to go downtown. Hey, this is gorgeous. That's nice. It's fun. And then we're down. She's taking pictures. And then we just go, people are talking about a riot, like politely talking about a riot. Okay. And then when it starts to be like, things ain't going well. We should go now. No, I want to take some more pictures. We should go now. So we start walking across the Canby Bridge, and we're about a third of the way across, turn back, and that's when the smoke starts coming up. And we're like, this is when shit's going down. But then there were people coming across the bridge, you know, towards the city, and they're like, what's going on? It looks like some bad stuff's going down. And they were, and it was like, okay.
That was the thing that my friend said about the ride that just happened, was that he came out of the hockey game, and he was, like, in the rink. He saw that game.
Yeah.
He was in the rink.
Oh,
he
came
out and was walking up Georgia Street.
Came out feeling shitty.
Yeah, and then saw the car on fire. And he was, like, in his mind, he was there for the Stanley Cup ride in 94. He was like, oh, man, I can't believe this is actually happening again.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk the other way.
Yeah.
And he said as he was walking away from the fire, thousands of people were walking towards it, pointing, going, there it is. There it is. That's where the shit's going down. Like, they wanted to be there.
Yeah.
They wanted to be there.
They wanted to feel something. Yeah. Whatever it is, good or bad, they want to feel something. It's like that kid who doesn't care what kind of attention he gets, as long as he gets some of it, because it's better to feel something than nothing.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, what the city was going through. Also, the politeness of, I guess it's appropriate to riot now.
But in a very strange way, I still think it's very strange how many thousands of people had that reaction of like, you know, I'm hurt. That was upsetting loss. I mean, who really cares? It's a hockey game.
In
the BL.
The next day you're over it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Who really cares?
I mean, that night you're like, oh, this is the worst.
Yeah.
And the next day you're like, oh.
A couple minutes later, you're like, okay, I think I'm going to have this last beer and go home. Like,
next year.
You know, like it is a weird psychology that happened.
You're just like, can we all get mad about something that matters sometimes?
Let's
get rid of all these stupid condos, huh, folks, so we can all afford housing here. How do you think? Come on.
That's not going to happen.
Right about the Olympic Village. How about that?
That's right about, we owe millions of dollars in this big giant white elephant.
Yeah.
Riot.
But it's got two giant birds there, Dave. Have you seen the two giant birds?
The government wouldn't
they are amazing.
The government wouldn't let TELUS give us $40 million to pay for this roof on a stadium. Riot.
We did, before we actually started the group Titmouse, we did go to Olympic Village, and we took pictures with the giant birds. So we have benefited from the Olympics, both Toby and myself.
And actually, Titmouse is right now looking into the naming rights of BC Play Stadium.
It was worth
it. Yeah, we're looking into that.
It was worth
we want to call it
Tit
Place Stadium if we can.
Titmouse.
We can call it Tit Place.
Tit Place.
And then people can just call it the Tit for short.
Okay.
Yeah, because it looks like one, right?
Yeah.
And we go like, tits up. Let's go.
It doesn't anymore.
It isn't?
It doesn't look like one anymore.
Oh, what does it look like now? It's like a lamb crown roast?
Yeah, it looks
like
a while.
It does, yeah. It looks like a crown roast. It looks like one of those,
Or like spider
attack. Is that lamb?
Yeah, it's got those lamb crown roast. Yeah, that's what we got. Mmm, nice lamb crown roast.
Oh, that's delicious.
Listen, we've taken up enough of your podcasting time, folks. I think we're getting close to it.
Time to get off the bike.
Okay, we're going to include a recipe for lamb crown roast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we like to end every show with a recipe.
That's true.
We've never done that ever.
Put some mustard on it.
Toby, do you have anything to... Dave officially ends this, but I do my plugs. Anything to plug? Anything happening in Toby Land? Toby Burner, TobyBurner.com.
I'm going
to be... That's the website. Yeah, is it the website?
It is a website, but it's not mine.
Okay.
But, yeah, it is a website.
Right. DJPJs.com.
DJPJs. Well, I'm here. You'll see me guest star on the Sunday Service.
Nice show. That's at the Cosmic Zoo.
Here in Vancouver. It's a very funny improv show.
Every Sunday night at what time?
I think it's 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, yeah.
9 o'clock Sunday night. I'm also going to be a guest star at the good old Show Us Your Wits burlesque slash improv show.
That has both improv and nudity.
Yeah.
Well, I am interested.
Yeah, well, I mean, I definitely recommend it if you like naked girls. I don't know.
Well, it's improv? Not full on, but yeah.
No, yeah.
Do they improvise?
The girls don't.
Well, no, that's not true. No, the shows I've done with them, the burlesque gals come on and improvise afterwards.
Okay,
we've had
so
that.
There you go. So I'm doing that. In podcast land, I will also be a special guest on a beautiful podcast, which is the Sunday Service.
You didn't tell us you were doing that one as well.
Podcast, and I will
be
on your...
You know what? You know what? You said you were just doing a podcast.
I'm actually a podcast whore. And after this, I'm doing Ian Boothby's No End. You're Ian Boothby.
No End is fine. Okay. Speaking of Cosmic Zoo, we do a show called Titmouse, sometimes with Toby, often without because he's now in Toronto, but he's one of the founding members of the group, third Thursday of the month. And this one will probably be a very nerdy one because it's right before Vancouver Fan Expo, so we may have a nerdy-ish theme going on.
We may have a nerdy theme going on.
Yeah.
Are you a big star at the Fan Expo? Are you a big star there?
No, not a big star, no. Oh. I'm actually, this is funny, both my wife and I were asked if we wanted to do it, and she got the special guests, and I got the guests. So, you know, that makes things awkward around the apartment.
Yeah.
It wasn't even guests, it was just guests.
Yeah.
Just guess who's coming.
So she's got like the nice fancy meal and I got the, you know, the little wrapped egg salad sandwich and like, can I have some of your grapes? I also do a Moose Boosh every Friday at Slicky Jim's Chat and Chew. And if you go CBC Radio, the Irrelevant Show, that's also a podcast, both the full episodes and the sketches. You can check that out. And Dave, what are you up to?
What am I up to? I'm getting my hair cut on Saturday. If you want to come by.
So supercuts or fancy cuts?
Billy's Salon. I don't know what it's called actually. Something like that. Has Billy's in the name.
No?
There's a girl there I like. She cuts my hair. What can I say?
Oh, Billy, a lady is named Billy.
Yeah.
Oh, like I.E.
Yes.
As in Billie Jean is not my lover.
But it's not Billy who cuts my hair. It doesn't matter. Let's not go into that.
Why Billy cuts your hair? What's the stick up Billy's ass? You're going to talk about it next week? As long as you talk about it next week.
I'll talk about it next show.
Okay, that's our cliffhanger to hear about Dave's haircut.
I'll do a whole thing about my haircut.
Dave, would you mind getting a picture of yourself pre and post haircut?
I will. I just want to add before we go that we will be at Emerald City.
True.
Next week.
Comic-Con.
Saturday, Sunday. We'll be
there. Not Wizard of Oz.
Wandering around. Look for us. I'll be dressed as the dragon. I've got a whole costume I got made.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, probably we're there already because this will probably drop when we're there.
This will drop when we're there. That's right. Well, it'll drop before I go down. It's not going to drop when I'm there because I will have to put it up before I leave.
Okay, so Emerald City Comic Con, we hope to see you there as well. We'll be wandering about.
Yes, we'll be wandering around.
Nerding it up. Toby will not be there.
I won't be there, but this is one of those magical podcast moments where you're like, wow, I'm here for the recording, but they're talking about... A week later, I mean, whoever's listening to this is going to be, what day is it right now? Where am I?
What's going on?
What's this card in my pocket? Three of clubs. Toby Burner, you've done it again.
Is this your card?
Is this your card?
Abracadabra.
We totally should have done a podcast card trick. I didn't think of that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we'll invite you back next time you're in
next
town.
Time. Next time you're in town.
All right. All right.
Thanks,
totally. Wrap it up, Dave.
Fun. This was fun. All right, everyone. Well, we'll see you next week on Sneaky Dragon. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.